Hi, Jamie. Thanks for waiting. Just slate for us and go ahead.
Hi, this is Jamie with Starry Constellation Magazine. I'm really intrigued by this character you play in Candy. I mean, how was Pat originally described to you? Just, you know, a doting father, loving husband?
Yeah, I think... I mean, I didn't have a lot of... I didn't have any knowledge of the story before I first read the pilot. It just kind of came across, the desk, I guess, and so I really only had the script to go off of, and you know, especially in that first episode, is completely uncomplicated and happy, and just everything's going particularly well in the Montgomery house, you know what I mean?
Or so he thinks.
So that was sort of, that was like the tack that I was taking in those early episodes. Just everything's going great.
Did they explain to you that was kind of like how husbands were during that time period, and they were just kind of really go with the flow? Because you're quite a different dichotomy than Alan.
No, I mean, I think that there was the conversations that I would have with Jesse about, you know, when we would talk about Pat and Candy's relationship. You know, I definitely was still going with the idea that, like, you know, at that time, you know, most everything still would have been shoved to Candy to do. You know what I mean? Like, I think that he was slightly ahead of his time in that he wasn't like a sort of miserable, you know, I think he was a good husband. I think he was a fun husband. And I think that he loved his family and loved spending time with his family, maybe more so than you would imagine other dads of that time period did. So I don't want to paint him as like a progressive and modern father who's splitting time in any way, but I do think that he was different from other dads in like his involvement with their kids. You know what I mean? Like, I think he stuck out in how much he enjoyed being a part of the family comparatively to some of the other parents in the community.
We see him eventually searching through Candy's belongings, her little hope chest kind of their past relationship, but then he exceeds it and goes into her actual dresser looking through her belongings. Did he suspect something was going on, or is he rummaging there for what he remembers? Maybe she's hiding some of their sentimental belongings for some reason that way.
I think he was, that whole sequence was, I think just everything's going great. And he wanted to look through old pictures of the two of them. He wanted to remember when they first met. And so when he goes looking into her dresser, I don't think he suspects anything. He's just looking for like the old letters, like the old love letters that they would write to one another. That was something that Pat and Candy did. Like, they would write love letters back and forth. And so I think he just wanted to be reminded of those letters. So he wasn't searching for anything
nefarious,
no. And then he just happens to come across a note that's like, that's not my handwriting. Yeah.
And poor Pat does end up blaming himself for Candy's affair.
Yeah.
Is it something that completely blows his mind then, because he feels like it's his fault just because they do have like a picture perfect life together?
I mean, pardon me. I think that my thought behind it was Pat blaming himself just because that's Pat's nature. I don't think of him as like a sort of social butterfly, like an extroverted person. And I don't think he has like a lot of self-confidence when it comes to those kinds of, when it comes to like romantic relationships. So I think that he blames himself because he just assumes it's probably his fault because Candy is the one who's good at that. You know what I mean? Like I don't know if that's a good, I don't know if that's a good answer for that. But
he does make the moves, it seems, when it comes to the romantic end of the relationship.
Let's say what?
She does make the moves when it comes to the romantic, you know, she initiates, I should say.
But I think that there is like this idea that I feel like Candy is like almost like a shield for Pat from like she's the one that can talk to people. She's the one that can meet people and be friendly and be sort of extroverted and and that's something that Pat can't do. And so I feel like a lot of his self-confidence is wrapped up in her. Like he can't believe that he ended up with somebody as sort of as beautiful as her and as fun as her. Like she's just so far out of his league. It's just I don't think he has a lot of confidence when it comes to like, yeah, if something went wrong, it was probably his fault in his mind.
But then again, when he finds out that A, she is responsible for this murder, although he believes it's self-defense, and then he is surprised again that she's had another affair, yet he stands by her. Is that something you discussed as well as being a product of the times? Or is that something that you just feel, again, is Pat being a shield and trying to hold on to the beautiful wife and the beautiful picture-perfect family?
It was the biggest question I asked of, like, why did that guy stick around? even after everything, after standing by her and assuming that it wasn't that, you know, saying like she didn't do it. And like, okay, well now she's telling me she did. Well, obviously she's not lying about it being self-defense. And then, okay, she told me she told me about the affair and we worked through that, but okay, there was another affair that she didn't tell me about. So like, why does he stick around through all of that? And I think there were a lot of things that went into that. The time period was one of like his like, no, I made a commitment to this marriage, better or worse. So there's like that, there's that thing. And then just the idea, like also the kids, like a lot of, you know, he doesn't want to break up the family because that would be bad for the kids. He doesn't want them to have to live like that. He's putting them first. But then also that thing of like, he might feel a little bit unmoored without Candy. I don't know that in the same way that Alan kind of very quickly finds himself in a relationship after the death of his wife. I don't know that Pat really wants to be out there without. I don't think he knows. I don't know that Pat necessarily knows how to live out in the world without her.
What were some of your more challenging scenes to film? I imagine the one where he does find out about the second affair was probably fairly taxing on you when you're filming because you're internalizing that super shock. You've had one shock where she's responsible. Then you're doubly shocked now because of this initial affair. That one, of course, may sting even worse than the first one.
Yeah, that one was definitely challenging only because I was challenging because it's like a non, I'm sorry, I'm searching for the right word. It's not rational. Like it's you know, you're trying to like, I suppose like as a performer, you're trying to like rationally analyze that scene and right, find a way to play it that makes sense. But the whole point is that he is reacting. It is all very irrational. So it's kind of like, that one was hard to try to find like a rational point A to point B of an irrational mindset. So that one was definitely challenging.
How did you shake off then a long day of filming? Obviously stripping off the quintessential costume garb that you had to wear, which was perfectly timed for this for the time period.
There was that. There was just the actual physical transformation at the end of the day. It becomes more about getting a wig off and washing like the the super glue, strong,
yeah.
the, like the glue that's in your hair, about washing that out. But I found, I mean, like, you know, so Pat's whole deal was his compartmentalization. Like, he had a way of compartmentalizing these things, and maybe I just did that too. Maybe I just compartmentalized the stuff that I dealt with during the day, and this story and these characters. I put them in a little box, and then I went home. I compartmentalized all my other stuff into this other little box, and I just like just kept them separate. I don't know if that's healthy.
You're an actor. I'm not sure if they have healthy habits at this point.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
As you drink soda. Yeah. Talk about working with Jessica, then. The two of you have great on-screen chemistry, and this is such a beautiful family. Picture perfect, as we described it.
Yeah. I mean, well, Jessica's incredible. I mean, I think we had both worked with a director named Antonio Campos before, and so he was a mutual friend and had always spoken really well of her and had always had great things to say. So I had like a good feeling going in because I trust him as a judge of character, and I right away found her to be incredibly talented, very hardworking, incredibly talented, and also like a great collaborator. Is somebody that brings a lot of ideas to the table and is also very open to the other performers in the room of like, and trying things and moving things around, and is also very funny. And I really enjoyed working with Jessie. I mean, like, there's a reason that you see her in a lot of stuff, and it's because she's very talented and great to be on set with.
What do you think it is about the series that's going to captivate viewers? I mean, I was personally captivated because A, you want to know the true story behind it, which is super fascinating. I related it to like one of those Oxygen shows where it's true crime and you're just really intense in the moment. Is that what you feel is really going to connect with the audience, is whether or not they feel like Candy is actually responsible for this, or if it is really self-defense? Because we do see at the end Melanie Lynskey as Betty saying, "That's your tour, you know, that's your version."
Yeah. I mean, we only ever have, as far as that goes, we only have Candy's version of the story. We don't know what Betty's is, so we can only go off of what she's saying. But you know, I mean, like, I guess my hope is that the actual, just like, you know, the naked facts of the case will be interesting, because they are. I mean, like, the story has been around this long, and it is retold because it's a very interesting case and it's a very interesting time period. And I think those things will bring people to it. But I'm hoping that just like that the inner lives and the inner workings of the characters and the writing and your feelings for those characters in there is what makes you come back or stick with it, rather than just like trying to figure out whether or not she did it, rather than just like the plot moving forward. You know what I mean?
Mm. So what have the other projects been that you've been busy working on lately? We've seen you step more dramatic from where we got to know you as a comedic role.
I mean, I just like, I came up like in indie theater. That was what that's where I started. And I just like weird, you know, I like weird contrasting tones in everything. So, so this kind of thing, and like the kind of style that Robin writes in, is just the kind of, I just love it, because it's not, you know, there are very weird, funny moments in the show as well as immensely dramatic ones. It's not like just dramatic or just comedic. Like, she is able to balance and weave all these tones together, which I think is fantastic. And it's really fun to work in. And it's very freeing, because you can play in a lot of different areas and stuff like this. So I don't know. I mean, like, if anything, I just, like, I don't know, when I look at like the stuff that I want to do, I don't know, it's always in this world. I want to keep people guessing. I don't want to be bored. You know, I like finding stuff like this that is not only challenging as a performer, because it might be, you know, not a first thought or out of my comfort zone. I like finding stuff like that. And also, I don't know, just selfishly, I want to be able to do everything.
So you do have some upcoming projects maybe that are a lighter side, or just at least ones that mix great too.
After this, I'm in a movie called Don't Worry, Darling, which Olivia Wilde directed. That's gonna it's gonna be coming out later on this year. But that's not really in like a comedy world. But like, you know, if comedies came up, I would definitely like. I'm not doing that thing where I've like made a shift to only dramatic work or whatever. Like, if I like it, I'll do it. If I like it, I'll do it. If I think it's interesting, I'll do it. So.
Do seamlessly bounce between the two. So I think it's a great niche either way for you.
I hope so. That's been my goal ever since I started.
Well, thank you so much for your time. That's all the time we have.
Thank you.
This is a great series for you, and I'm really excited for more people to see it. And
thank you. I look
forward to talking to you again soon, hopefully. For now, be safe and be well.
All right, you too.